الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. We were discussing some basic rites of the Quran Sharif, and as we read now in the hadith, we heard also the Quran also will be a complainant in the court of Allah Ta'ala. It will be a witness and evidence for those who fulfill the rites of the Quran. And the Quran will bring a charge against those people who did not fulfill the rites of the Quran Sharif. We have to think that how are we going to answer the charge. There will be no lawyer fighting our case, no QC, and we have got nothing to depend on. We'll have no arguments in the court of Allah if the Quran Sharif brings a charge against us. And also in the ayat of the Quran Sharif, we see that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will also bring a charge against us with regard to the Quran Sharif. So it's very important that we try our best to fulfill the rights of the Quran Sharif. Life is short-lived, and Qiyamah's Day is a huge day, a horrible day, in which judgment will take place, in which there will be these court cases, and the judge will be no other than Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala, and the complainant, if it is the Quran Sharif, if it is Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what chance have we got? So we should be very considerate about this. Amongst the rights that we have discussed was one, complete and convincing Iman on the Quran Sharif, that it is the absolute, the guiding book and the kitab of Allah Ta'ala, sent for our salvation, sent for our guidance, sent for our felicity, for our success. Second, and also in that, every ayat of the Quran we must also have full Iman and Yaqeen on. Secondly, the love of the Quran Sharif and the respect and honor of the Quran Sharif. Thirdly, to learn the Quran, ta'allum al-Quran, to learn the Quran Sharif. And that must be a process which must be from cradle to grave, min al-mahad ila al-lahad. And then the next one, to recite the Quran Sharif. And the very bare minimum of it is that we make one khatam during the year, and at least one khatam during the month of Ramadan. For that, I thought, where is Maulana Musa? He's not here. Oh, Maulana Musa is here. Ji, make little this A4 pages, cut out blocks, about 3 pages, and give to everyone. And everyone write on there how far we are with our Quran, which supara, which juice we are in. You don't have to write your name. If you wish to write your name, you write your name. And at the bottom, write what is your target, inshallah, how many khatams you intend completing. So we have an idea of our satis, that how much have they read and how much they intend reading. And you don't have to write your name, just write that. So at least we have an idea. So the recitation of the Quran Sharif is something that we must individually also increase. We must have Quran Sharif tilawat must increase in our homes, in our cars, in our businesses, in our masjids also. There are some masjids, I saw the Lusaka Jami Masjid out of Ramadan. Really, it appears like a khanqa. All the time there is somebody making tilawat. And at Fajr time, about 15 minutes before Fajr namaz, Jamaat, you won't get place in the first saf. The whole first saf is full, and all are busy making tilawat of Quran Sharif. MashaAllah, quite a bit of the resemblance, in fact quite a bit, almost the same, is our Jami Masjid of Azadwal also. That long before the first saf is full, and all are making tilawat of Quran Sharif. And then during the day also, I remember when I was in Germiston, And that time with the work of the Blair, we should go quite a bit for Gush on the eastern towns, Boxburg, Benoni Springs, etc. And almost every town we had noticed that by about 10 o'clock or so, the old people who are old elders in the town, they should be in the masjid. And then make their wudu, make the salatul duha, chash namaz, and then reading Quran Sharif. And some, like some old people, they had the habit of reading loudly. And it was really Quran to the ears, enjoyment to the ears. And some of them also, they should read the translation in Gujarati. And that also they should read loudly. Even the translation, they should read it loudly. But there was connection with Quran. And then a time came, unfortunately, we saw old people. They should come to the masjid, but the benches by the wuzu, in the foyer, where we take out our shoes, etc., they should sit there and have their meetings there. And what they discuss, politics of the town, individuals of the town. Then unfortunately we saw that time also that no more even in the masjid foyer, but in cars they used to sit around. And then any person who passes, they open up his whole file. His file, his father's file, grandfather's file. He did this, his grandfather did this, and his father was like this. We should rather come to the masjid and make tilawat of Quran Sharif. And mashallah, there were such women also that we knew that whenever you would go to the house, they are busy making tilawat. A whole day, and they're busy. Housework to a minimal. They are all now elderly women, but Quran Sharif tilawat all the time. So this is, and there are many, my uncle, in family, he was my uncle. In Ramzan Sharif, he was a Hafiz of Quran. And in those days, when there were very few Hafizas, he should sit after Isha, cross-legged on his bed, and almost without a movement, till Sehri time, he would make one Khatam ka finish. Make his Sehri, and then sleep after that. And his maut came in such a way, that he woke up from his bed, went and wake up my brother-in-law, and then called him, tell him, I'm dying now, you must come read Yasin for me. In so much of hosh he was. Then he lied down again on the bed on a Thursday night. And reading Yasin, his son was reading Yasin, and then he passed away. So the barakat of Quran Sharif are very, very, very great. So we should try and read as much as we can. And our real affiliation with Quran Sharif is by tilawat. And it's open to everyone. And all of us, inshallah, we have learned. Some of us need some polishing only. And those who have forgotten or we did not learn, it doesn't take long. There was a lady who used to come to the house by Appa to learn. And she didn't know Quran Sharif at all. A grown-up woman. And when she finished her first supara, my wife, Appa, explained to me, you couldn't understand the joy she was having. The joy on her face and tears were rolling. I've completed one supara of Allah's kalam. And there are many reverts also. When they read, in fact, one revert with regard to namaz, she has made it her rule that delay anything but salat. When it's time for namaz, read your namaz. Don't delay, no delay. And how many of us, we are still very far from all these things. So anyway, tilawat of Quran Sharif, we should try and do it as much as we can. At present, there are people around us in our country who make one khatam a day. Every day one khatam. And some of them very close to one khatam a day. So we should, it's not impossible, it is possible. And we should try and do this, inshallah. And the person who is not a hafiz, but reads excessively Quran, Allah will give him a status as almost like that of the Hafiz on the day of the day of Qiyamah. And also with regard to becoming a Hafiz, make your niyat and learn, even if you just learn one ayat your whole life, you didn't learn it properly. But you are on the path, Allah will raise you as a Hafiz on the day of Qiyamah. Any person whose niyat is to become a Hafiz and start learning your surahs, learn Tabarak al-Ladhi, Alif Lam Mim Sajda, learn one ayat. And mashallah, how many of our friends, encourage them, Surah Tabarak al-Ladhi, Yasin, they've started learning it. And if we start learning one ayat a day, we make a slot every day, 15 minutes is my hifz time. Half an hour is my hifz time. In the morning, in the afternoon, at night, whenever it is. And every day you learn little bit. And even if you don't complete, but you will be raised amongst the huffaz. This is Allah's promise. A person who is going for Hajj, and he passes away on the way, Allah will not only raise him as a Haji, but Allah appoints a farishta, an angel, on his behalf, who makes Hajj for him every year also. In the same way, we have come for our Islah here. And our Islah is so that we have connection, we become awliya, the friends of Allah. We have a close connection with Allah Ta'ala. A person who makes that niyat, and we carry on our life, do our daily zikr, do our ma'amulat, so we are trying, attending regularly majlis, etc. And even if we don't become awliya, when maut has come, Allah puts that person on the stage of wali, and then he takes his ruh. So we just have to be on the path. So tilawat of Quran Sharif is really that point where we connect with the Quran Sharif. Then after that is amal bil Quran, which is the object of the Quran. The object of the Quran is not just for barakat. Many people today, we take out the Quran for when somebody has died. Then we make khatam, then we start reading. Quran is for the living people. Not for the dead people. It is. Read and bakhshe, give, pass the sawab according to shariat. Don't go beyond the limits into bid'at, etc. But there is a way. Make khatam of Quran Sharif, Quran Khani, that you have khatam Khani, you have Quran Sharif. No problem. But do it within the limits of shariat. But Quran is more for the living people than what it is for the dead people. We must be reading Quran Sharif and make our lives according to the Quran. Our aqaid must be according to the Quran. Our ibadat must be according to Quran. And when we don't have connection with Quran, we find lot of bid'at coming also. And lot of other things also coming. Then our mu'amalat, our business dealings, Quran has taught us everything. And then our mu'asharat, how we should live in our society. Then our akhlaq, everything, how to make the effort of deen. Our madaris, all these things are discussed in the Quran Sharif. So this is, we must make our lives according to the Quran Sharif. Then after that is ta'aleem of the Quran. The other point was ta'allum, to learn. Now when we have done this, never ever forget to teach the Quran Sharif also. And there are various ways of teaching the Quran. The best of course is you yourself personally. And mashallah, as I explained about Maulana Yunus Wahid, what a wonderful maut Allah gave him, and what a big janazah, how many people, all by the barakat of teaching the Quran Sharif. So if we can, we should personally teach, especially those who are ulama, who are huffaz, to have a slot of teaching Quran Sharif regularly, no matter what else we are doing, or just have a time to teach Surah Fatiha, Surah Ikhlas, that everyone can do. On this point also, many of us who are business people, we come and tell Maulana, there's one poor brother, he wants to become, say, Muslim, or his sister, can I send her home to Appa? She wants to, the basics all of us can do. Who doesn't know La ilaha illallah? Don't delay in there for that person to accept Islam. He's ready to accept Islam, don't even wait that you're going to come 15 minutes and bring him here. Or tell him come tomorrow. The minute he's ready, in fact it is a masala, a fatwa, that if somebody wants to accept Islam, and you tell the person, think about it. Read, yes, some books, read about it. And then you come back to me. Your iman is at stake. Because you are now happy that he stays in the state of kufr until he's ready already. And you delaying it. And many of us, for no reason, we dally, we postpone it. Anyone wants to become, and also don't make this an excuse that if you accept Islam, is he going to practice on Islam or not? Are we even practicing properly? That is no excuse. Many people, with regard to bay'at also, they say we don't want to become bay'at, we won't be able to fulfill everything, do everything. Then you are a Muslim, are you doing everything as a Muslim? You are busy making your namaz, you are regular with namaz. Are you making your namaz as you ought to do? You are not. But you try your best. So even accepting Islam, even becoming bay'at, don't, when it comes in your heart, then carry on. Go ahead and become bay'at. Go ahead, become a Muslim. Don't put the person off when you want to accept Islam. And also remember this point, a person who has accepted Islam, alhamdulillah, we are born Muslims, we are in Islam. And the signature of our Islam is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is our, on the dotted line that we have put our signature. So when you sign a contract for anything, that whatever contract, whatever you treat a business deal, having a building, you buying a property, whatever, when you have signed, now you are on that. You don't have to renew your signature every day. You don't have to refresh and take out your deed of sale and your agreement. You don't have to take it out every day and read it. You sign, it's finished. And then if your maut comes, that thing is still binding. Because that was your, unless you really changed it, you made a new will, you made a new agreement, you made a new deed of sale, now you have changed it. So if a person reads kalima, I revert, he says, I want to read kalima, he's a Muslim. Even if he doesn't make one namaz, even if he doesn't keep one roza, and he stays, he doesn't go back to his old beliefs, he remains on that, he will go to Jannah. Because he has put his signature on the dotted line. He has accepted Islam. We also, we may be weak. We will not be making namaz. Of course, you will be going via. It won't be easy. You will be a person who fulfills the rights of Islam and Iman. He'll go to straight and he'll be a VVIP. All the way, he's going to get what enjoyment. But a person who didn't make namaz, he didn't keep roza, all other wrong things he was doing, but he had Iman, he accepted that he will be going to Jannah. So, also on this point, another very important point, a revert. We read in the hadith, and it is a masala, it is a fact, that if he just a person accept, and there are many people accepted Islam, and after a few hours they passed away. They accepted Islam in a hospital, they accepted Islam at home, and they just a few hours, and then they passed away. So he goes straight to Jannah. So we might feel that you are born Muslim, you had to work 50 years, 60 years, 70, how many namazes you had to read, how many rozas you had to keep, how many other commands of Allah, and that person just read kalima, he passed away, he's gone straight to Jannah. Now there is a world of difference. He's going to Jannah. Iman is your ticket to Jannah. It isn't your level of Jannah. And the person who was born Muslim and whole life making namaz, what is amal, what stages of Jannah is he going to get? Well, in fact, it comes in the Hadith Sharif that two Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhum passed away, one who accepted Islam earlier and one who accepted Islam later. And they saw the person who accepted Islam earlier, he died after a year, but his stages were more higher. Something to this effect. And they were surprised, they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, they accepted Islam together. But the one died 1 year, and the one died about a year later. But the stages were just, they died. And the Sahaba then expressed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this person who died later, he's got higher stages. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 1 year's namazes he read, 1 year's rozas he kept, 1 year's ibadat he does, that will take him so much more further. So the ta'aleem of the Quran. So to teach the Quran Sharif, make that our, every person should make that his basic duty. As a father, as a parent, mother or father, at the minimum we can do is sit with our children. That just supervise them. That while they are, the school work, they will also have more interest. And unfortunately, parents also got more interest in school work. But we should see to their madrasa work that they learn their sabaks also at home. And that they learn the Quran Sharif. And as I mentioned earlier, we might be surprised that they are reading Quran Sharif more better than us. Usually when we, in the previous days, Quran Sharif was not taught with tajweed. Now, mashallah, it is taught proper, and how correctly children read And the system of the Makatib has reached quite a great level where they read very, very correctly. And we will be learning from them. So we should be personally engaged. If we can't do that, then at least to sponsor a child. And your child is learning in a madrasa, many of us, we are very lax with paying the fees. School fees, other fees, and other pocket expense we give them. And sometimes we are giving them more pocket expense than what their fees are also. Right? And the fees we are not paying, or we are lax in paying it. We dilly-dally, we delay in paying it. But yeah, the pocket expense, that we make sure we give the child his pocket expense, etc. So go to the madrasa, and there must be many students who cannot afford. So pay on behalf of them. Allah has given you so much. A little bit if you won't have this or that, but your niyat is that one child learns the Quran. You are also part in the process of propagating the Quran, of teaching the Quran Sharif. Then more than that, in our country, right in our neighborhoods, there are now, alhamdulillah, Allah's lot of fazl, that there are a lot of brothers also, and Allah has brought this alive of establishing makatib in the local indigenous people's areas, the whole country. Everywhere this is carrying on. And this is also a system of Allah Ta'ala, where the seeds are being planted. We don't know when the crops will grow and what crops will grow. It is like a person who plants this trees for what they make paper out of the trees. That tree matures in 40 years, in 20 years, or in all possibility he's not going to live. These are usually government projects, because a person on his own, a person is not interested in making an investment at the age of 40 and the returns which he's going to get when he's 80 years old. He's not going to live almost in all probability. The governments take up these ventures. And if they don't do this, we won't have paper to write on. And we don't understand where our paper comes from. And this also, what a big namat. We just take a paper, we just scribble on it, write the pen from where it came, the paper from where it came. But anyway, that's a separate subject. So, these investments, the ordinary people won't make. But if you, these makatib which are being established, the fruit of it we're seeing already now, mashallah. But the real fruit we will get, perhaps after 20, 30, 40 years. And there is no doubt that Islam is going to spread in the world. Not only in South Africa, and this Islamophobia which is taking over the so-called intellectuals of the world. And the so-called advanced countries, they can fight it as much as they want to. What Allah has decreed, nobody can stop. And whether we Muslims are indifferent even to our Islam, whether we are doing anything about it or not, Allah has decided. And you can see the clear signs of Islam spreading like wildfire in the world, literally. Islam, especially, previously I was thinking, in France, Islam is spreading the fastest. But later we came to know in Italy at the moment, where the Vatican is, the most growing religion which they admit, most fastest growing religion in the world is Islam. Islam, Muslims are growing all the time. And this is happening right in their own backyard. And Islam is growing, and it is growing at an alarming rate. If you read the reports of their politicians, what they give in their parliaments, which are all, anyone has access to them, you will see how frightened they are of the spread of Islam. And they are trying their best to suppress and curb Islam. But, so these makatib which are coming up, not the right word to say, mushrooming everywhere, but which are blossoming everywhere, and throughout the country, everywhere, and throughout the world, this is happening. And alhamdulillah, by Allah's fazal, must be other people in other countries also, which we don't know. But in our country, how many brothers Allah has put that fikr, not only for South Africa, but South America, Malawi, Mozambique, India, Vietnam, where and where South Africans are running makatibs also. So and makatib is the backbone, is the foundation of our deen. When I was lecturing at Rand Afrikaans University, the professor there, one day it slipped out from his tongue. And he said that as long as you have your makatib, your maktabs, Then remember, Islam and Muslims will be a will thrive as a Muslim community. But you people by nature, you are business people also, and you have business acumen by nature. And if you don't have your makatib, you will be a professional community. You will be a wealthy, affluent community. You will be everything else, but you won't be a Muslim community. To be a Muslim community, it is the maktab. And the maktab is so important that with the work of tabligh and da'awat, how lot of benefit. But if it is not coupled, that is why Maulana Saad at the Markaz now is stressing so much on the maktab system. That where there isn't the maktab system in Kenya, there were many places where tabligh work had become very strong, very well. But the Salafis came and overnight they just ran over everything. Because they didn't have the dini education. Education is your power. If you haven't got education, anyone can move you in whichever direction you want to. If you have education, you will know what your correct aqidah are. If you have aqidah, if you have your education, Islamic education, you will know about Quran. Otherwise people will mislead you terribly in everything. So your basics and the details of education, Islamic education, is also necessary. But the maktab, the primary, is the most important, the basics. Also, around about the 90s, the Roman Catholic, the churches, who and the NGOs who are doing missionary work in Africa, not only for South Africa, and we can't imagine what amount of monies they are spending, and how much they are expending in their efforts. In one place, they came and they bought a farm and they settled there. And then their missionaries before Fajr are gone out everywhere. And they're going to the schools and giving the children all the school books, giving them food, giving them blankets. The whole day they are working for these things. So anyway, they had this seminar of theirs to discuss and to evaluate that how much progress are they making. Where are they? Where should they be? Etc. One thing that they came up in that one of the main reasons we couldn't make inroads with Muslims and convert them to Christianity was because of the maktab system. And this is such a system that the Quran Sharif, just a little to get it in proper perspective, when a child is born, we know that adhan must be given in the right ear, iqamah, takbir, in the left ear. If we have to think with our logic and our brains, what is the benefit of it? The child is just born, he's a newborn child. Even if he's an Arab child, he doesn't know Arabic still, he doesn't know adhan and takbir. And if he's a Gujarati child, if he's a Zulu child, if he's a Chinese child, what does he know? What has adhan and takbir got to him? But this is a, whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teachings and sunnats are by the command of Allah. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Allah Ta'ala had ordained this. So Allah has ordained that adhan must be given, takbir must be given. Why? The reason for that is that when a child is just born and the first words that go to him, it's a lifelong, not a lasting, a lifelong impression on that person. And that child that has been fortunate that the first thing that came in his ear, adhan and takbir, he is more, you can say, is guaranteed on iman. He can go off this way, that way, all, but he'll come back online and he will die with iman. Today we should at the same time also consider, today every woman practically, the doctor says Caesar. And those who have some understanding, they say money-making thing. How many in the previous, not one Caesar. Nobody knew about Caesarean child. Everyone was born normally. When there were floods in Mozambique, some 15, 20 years ago, in America and Europe, it made headlines that a woman gave birth on the top of a tree. She gave birth there. Well, no Caesar, no Caesarean, no nothing. But all this that they want us to go to the maternity homes, etc. They soft music playing. And they bluff us to soothe the nerves of the mother. And to make it easy for her. And those delivering women, They are chatting and talking all the time. And their language is a different language. All those things goes into. And we suffer from an inferiority complex. We don't go and give the azan immediately. The takbir, after 1 week, then we giving azan. After what and what pollution has gone into the child. Then if the child comes out like the children of today, then who have we got to blame? You can't blame the children. It was we. What was our attitude at that time? And right from the beginning we are taught in the hadith, when a man cohabits with his wife, there are du'as to be recited. If you don't recite your du'as, no zikr of Allah, shaitan has a share there also. And then if the mother is listening to music, and today it's a scientific proven fact, if the mother is a smoker, if the mother has got AIDS, then it comes into the child also. So the other side of it, there was this one boy, he was at the age of 8 those years, many years, maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when we should go to Durban quite often, he would read Qiraat, 8 years old, complete Hafiz, and Jayyid Hafiz. He had no fear, he should sit on a minbar, whole masjid full of ulama and huffaz, but he had no fear and he would read with confidence, and not short, he would read quite a bit. I asked his father, how come your child, Allah blessed him with this? He thought for a while, and he said when his mother was conceiving, she would read 15 suparas, 15 juz every day. There is a family that is still living now in Muzaffarnagar in India near Deoband. Sayyid family, or family of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whole family are huffaz. And the last born child, I don't know now if it's the last, but at that time, he was the last born child. When he started speaking, and he could speak now, he knew whole Amma Supara. How did he know this? His mother used to read all the time. And when the mind is clear, there is no TV in the mind, there is no cell phone games in the mind, there is no all other things in the mind, it's clear. Whatever you put in just registers. It registers one way. One supara he should learn, he was Hafiz of whole Amma Supara. His mother was Hafiza. Instead of all singing other merry tunes and all other things and nursery rhymes, she used to be reading Quran Sharif all the time. So the child knew Quran. The 6 year old, they started him with Hifz officially. The mother was at the teacher. And the sabak she gave him and he used to learn properly. The 4 year old playing around. They said he'll start when he's 6. But before the 6 year old comes in Hambrawa, his sabak, the 4 year old one comes in Hambrawa. His mind is so fresh and clear. So he picks up so easily. So this is the reciting of the Quran. So in that seminar, another point also, the Roman Catholic said that if you give us a child when he's born and you leave him with us till the age of 5, then you can do what you want to with him whole life. Well, he will remain a Roman Catholic. And this is what comes in the Arabic Proverbs, that whatever is inscribed in childhood is like that which is written on a rock. Which is inscribed on a rock, it doesn't go out. It stays forever. So if a child, we usually, the first few years of a child, we think that the child must just play. And we leave the child, and we let him do all wrong things. And that is the foundation we are putting. And if the foundation was put wrong, there must be no official teaching of the child, formal teaching. But just a Muslim home must be a madrasa on its own. And there can be no better teacher in the home than the mother herself. The nanny, you keep a maid, you keep a helper. What interest has she got in your child? Her interest is her money end of the month. She wants her wages, that's all she wants. She's got what interest she's got. What love the mother has got for a child, nobody else can give that love. The mother bathing the child, putting on the clothes, and if she has got deen in her, and reading kalima la ilaha illallah, in the morning, perhaps not full wuzu, but washing the face, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. All these things are having a tremendous effect on that child. And if it is all nursery rhymes, and if it is all other merry tunes, and all that TV is playing, is on, music is playing in the house, then we complain of the children. We've got no right to complain. We are chopping our legs with our own choppers, and then we want to complain about it, then we want to blame other people. Our rise and our fall is not outside us. Our rise and fall as an individual, as a family, community, a nation, it is all within us. All the ingredients of our rise is in us. And all the ingredients of our fall is within us. So to teach the Quran Sharif at home to the children is extremely important also. And we must become part and parcel of this. So, the Quran Sharif also, it was not previously, Alhamdulillah, I heard of it now lately, that certain areas they are complaining that the maktab system, the parents, the community have got this perception. That as soon as the child, especially a girl, she has completed reading Quran Sharif King inside, her Islamic education is complete. Previously, this was very common in the ummah, whole ummah, not only in any communities, in the whole ummah, that the ta'aleem of a child, especially a girl, now she must sit at home. Nowadays, we teach all hadith also, translation of Quran, ayats also, du'as also, history also, akhlaq also. But previously, it was only Quran Sharif. And really, this is as a matter of truth. When a person has completed Quran Sharif, Nazra, that whole Arabic, you're not an Arab, you don't know one word, but that whole thing has gone within you. Allah has not prescribed anything for us which is in vain and which hasn't got value or hasn't got reasoning behind it. فَعْلُ الْحَكِيمِ لَا يَخْلُوَ عَنِ الْحِكْمَةِ Allah's every action is filled with hikmat. So to learn the Quran Sharif, just in Arabic also, this alhamdulillah is another aside and benefits, the children learning du'as also, everything. But your iman and your mizaj, your nature of being a Muslim, that the Quran will build. Quran builds the heart of a person. Quran builds the mind of a person. So these makatib are the sources where this is taught. And the maktab is that place where it is taught unadulterate. If it is in an Islamic school, it is part of it. And it is adulterate there. And nobody likes mixing. Nobody likes adultery. Who likes adultery? Adultery is the worst thing. And to commit adultery of the Quran Sharif, mix it with other sciences and other things, how can the proper effect of it come? When it is taught exclusively, only Quran Sharif, and the teacher is an alim, who gave 7 years, 10 years of his life for deen, and he is also fully in deen. And in the school, it may be an alim also, but the whole environment is also a mixed-up environment. And there is all other things also. And we know that even you can call it an Islamic school, but the secular subjects and the secular teachers are given preference in the salaries also, in preference also. Everything they are given preference. And when this is the ideology that Islam is under school, under secular school, under dunya, Islam is under, then the child also builds that same frame of mind, that Islam is secondary, primary is dunya. That is what is most important. So everyone should devote himself to the teaching of the Quran Sharif, to have this as makatib. So these makatib which are established in our towns also, we should take a personal interest in the maktab. If you don't want to, many people don't want to become mutawallis of the masjid, etc. But a person who has got interest in our education and in the community and the backbone and the foundation and the future of the community, they should get involved in the maktab system and see that we have a proper maktab system, a full-time proper maktab system, and in that we should give our time also, and we should see to the proper functioning, get the right ustads also. And remember also, education is not only the formal education, but Islamic education really boils down to amal must become alive. Education, ilm is the imam. But if you only have an imam, no muqtadis. Where we come here for Maghrib namaz now, there is only imam, nobody else. You can't have Jamaat namaz also. Jamaat namaz is only takes place when you have followers also. So amal is the muqtadi. So just having ilm is the imam, and you've got no muqtadi, nobody to follow. You know, the jamaat namaz doesn't take place also. So amal must follow also. So that ilm, when the maktab also, it is taught in such a way, whether the child is even becoming a hafiz, an alim, and the ustad got no worry how the child is dressed also. And the ustad got no worry whether the child makes namaz or anything also. The ustad is failing in his duties. The duties of the ustad are not what are formally written down only. That you have to teach this textbook, you have to teach from page 1 to page 20 in the first term, till page 60 in the second term, etc. And the children should generally be passing. You must teach in such a way that they know their work and they pass. The ustad's basic, what we call farz-e mansabi, his farz of his position as an ustad, is to see that the child has Islamic ethos also, Islamic character also, Islamic dressing also. Today it is so sad that if a child is born, a little girl, and after 1 week or whenever, and you put on a burqa for the child, everyone, the pious people of the family, they also got an objection. Already from now burqa, already making her look like an old lady, but put on the dressing of a Christian woman, the dressing of a Jewish woman, of a Hindu woman, Tamil woman, nobody got an objection. And then it is now cute now. Now she's smart and she's cute. A little boy, if you put kurta on him, he's a week old, he's a month old, and you put kurta, even if it's on Eid's day you put, the most they will allow is for about an hour. After that, change him again. Put on the other clothes again. And if you just put on Islamic clothes, then everyone has got a problem. From now, you make him already a buzurg. You're making him a big wali, a buzurg from now already. But you put on Christian clothes, you put on other clothes, and worse, not only the Christian type of clothes, but with murat, with photos on it. So Allah's rahmat doesn't come. Farishtas don't enter that house. And when the child now picks up what illnesses and clothing with shoes, etc., with musical tones in it. With that all the time. And with this focus on it all the time. So Allah's known. These are clear signs that you are giving to the Farishta no entry here. That house in which Quran Sharif is recited, there aren't photos displayed in that house. And Islamic lifestyle is, that is a open entry, that my house is open to the malaika. They can come and enter. But when we got TV in our house, we got videos and video shows, and we have got photos, newspapers we are careless about lying around, and there isn't perhaps one page on which there isn't a picture of an animate object just lying. Magazines, how many? And they're just lying around, and the worst place is to keep them in the bedroom. If you have to keep them, put them in the kitchen. Better put them outside in the garage. If you have to read your newspapers and your magazines, it's absolutely necessary for you. You can't do without it. Then put it away there. But don't leave it here. These are all antennas which are high up or out of the roof, that telling the malaika no entry. The malaika of rahmat. This also we must not make a mistake. When I was in Germiston, there was one person who was very, very working for the community. So on a Sunday morning, it was a rainy morning and a very gloomy day, but there was a lady who had reverted to Islam, and she was in the throes of death, Sakarat, and he was there also helping out, and Maud just wouldn't come. She's suffering. Maud is not coming. She's going through Sakarat. He was wondering what is the cause, and then he found there was a puppy, a little dog, a puppy, under the bed. He pulled it out. As soon as he pulled it out, her ruh went away. The farishta of rahmat, the malakul maut of rahmat, could not enter because of the puppy's presence, which comes in the hadith also. You have pictures of animate objects, you have dogs, etc. The farishtas of rahmat don't enter there. So it isn't that one person told one maulana, "I will never die." He say, "Why?" He say, "I keep a dog with me. So malakul maut will never come to me." He say, "Malakul maut of rahmat won't come to you. Malakul maut of azab will come to you." For the angels of Adab, these things are not, they don't block them to come. They will come. So all these things in our homes, so no tilawat, all dunya's things. Today what and what on our phone? Good people, the home screen, a picture of your wife there. Hey, it was so hurt the heart. In one country nearby, we were having lunch on a Jummah, and next to me was the main imam, main alim of the town, and he took his car key and he put it on the table. On the key ring, a young woman's picture, which could be only his wife, couldn't be anyone, displaying her picture like this in front of everyone. Where our sense of sharam and haya also gone? Everything on our phone, you give somebody to use, your wife's picture there. And she's not going to be in niqab and very humble and very modest. You're giving a broad smile and all her makeup. You're inviting trouble for yourself, which is haram also. How can these things be done? But unfortunately, we're not conscious. How many of us, we got the photos of our children, grandchildren displayed at home. In the office you go, you see the pictures of the family displayed there. All these haram things. So the farishtas don't enter, the malaika of rahmat don't enter those places. Malaika of azab. But if we have Quran Sharif, there's, mashallah, there are those people also in their business places. They've got also the time allocated, and they've got madrasas running in the business place also. How many homes? Every Muslim home should be a maktab. And the ta'aleem of, and every, and where there is a maktab, it is a tablighi markaz also, from where tabligh of deen will also take place. So all of us, we should try and engage in the teaching of the Quran. And if we, personally we should, our home should become also, make our businesses also. One very good friend of mine, a Maulana, he explained to me, he's got passion for the Quran Sharif. And he says that, top business people who have forgotten, and he has makes friends with them, and he goes to their offices, to their business places. Somebody thinks Maulana came for an appointment, some work, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, he's teaching Quran Sharif. And he's got an art in this, and he gets them going in reading Quran quite easily and quite quickly also. And like that, he's not really like, if you see him, not like a very pious Maulana also. But mashallah, this Quran, Allah gave him passion. And he goes and he teaches these people in their business places. So make your business place also a madrasa. Make your home a madrasa. The madrasa of the town must be very well run, managed, looked after. Properly it must be looked after. And we must make an effort as being on the committee, or even if not on the committee. There mustn't be a single Muslim child who is not learning Quran Sharif. And make an effort that every adult also is still learning. And an easy way for that is that about 15 minutes once or twice a week, like before Isha Adhan, 15 minutes, an adult class for tajweed. And let the people come, and you'll have to treat adults as adults. You can't treat them like children and use a cane and even use some humiliating words if they don't know. Even if they don't know, you have to encourage them all the time. And then try and encourage them to learn. And just the mere presence of this will draw Allah's rahmat. And see how our problems in our town, in our families will get solved. Remember also another point, that in whatever problems we got, health problems, domestic problems, financial, whatever problems we got, we try and solve it our way. We think how I can take a loan from here, go to the bank and take a loan, do this, go to a sangoma because my wife is not coming right, my daughter is, our way of things will never solve. The only way is when Allah's rahmat will come. And to pull Allah's rahmat, you need this amal. The tilawat of Quran Sharif, you have a madrasa running, you have a khanka running in your house, zikr is being made, tilawat is being made, all these things here, love and kindness between the husband and wife, tolerance, understanding, these are things that pull Allah's rahmat. But in the place of that, swearing one another, accusing one another, using bad language, all the TVs on, whether somebody is watching or not, but the TV has to be on. And we have a video playing, nobody is watching also, but it must carry on also. So all these things, they block Allah's rahmah. And worse than this is again where we mix, where we adulterate. And what adulteration? We got a TV, and on top of it, Ayatul Kursi. Beautiful golden words, in gold it's written. Or Asma'ul Husna, in beautiful gold it's written. And on the TV, a naked woman. On the TV, porn we are seeing. We are seeing other filth on the TV. This mixing, this adulteration causes a person the worst problems. Anyway, so ta'aleem of Quran Sharif. And sponsor a student in your maktab. Sponsor a student in a Darul Uloom to become a Hafiz. Well, your own son could not become. You haven't got sons. You haven't got children. But you sponsor one's child, the child on the day of Qiyamah, he being the Hafiz, you'll have a Hafiz in your Nama-i-Aman. And what great returns for a person whose child is a Hafiz, or he sponsored a child to become a Hafiz. Also in this silsila, which is very important and a demand, and it is opening on the people of South Africa, run maktabs in other countries also. In the Jalsa also we announced that whoever and everyone can just work on it and adopt one town, one province, one country and run maktabs. And mashallah, there are brothers who are sitting here who are running other madrasas and adopted a place where in other countries, whether it's Indonesia, whether it's Mozambique, whether it's Malawi. So try and adopt one country and together with a few business friends of yours. And a businessman speaks to a businessman, it makes more sense also. And incorporate one alim also. And then make regular visits also. There are people who are working very good. What madrasa has been built in Burundi, for example. All these places. And South Africans got a share in many parts of the world. Alhamdulillah. So each one of us who is in that position, try and work locally also, either locally or abroad. Or if you can manage, you have the capacity, work both places. And also remember in this matter, that if somebody else is doing any other work, whether they are doing jamaat work, whether they are doing, they are running madrasas, darul ulooms, maktabs, don't interfere with them. Some of us, we got a problem, Tabligh Jamaat doesn't go to non-Muslims. You go to non-Muslims, they're not going, let them do what they're doing, their work they are doing. Some people got a problem, they told Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib, every year people are going for Umrah, going for Hajj, they're not seeing to the poor people. So Mufti Sahib say, you see to the poor people. Let them carry on. Those in whose share is to go for Umrah, let them carry on with the Umrah. Those in whose share is to go for Hajj, that is also important. Our Marakis must be well sponsored and well looked after. There must be enough people also going. So those who Allah put in their heart, but we doing nothing. Somebody say that you are Khanka. Why are you going Khanka? You must go Tabligh. So you go Tabligh, no problem. Those who are going Khanka, let them carry on going Khanka. So let everyone, so don't interfere with one another. Every work is necessary. And every work must carry on. So all this also, don't interfere and don't take out other people from the work they're doing. Let them carry on with their work. And we must, on our side, where there is a vacuum, go and fill that vacuum. Go and work in those places. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the ta'aleem of the Quran, to teach the Quran, make us ardent lovers of the Quran. And make us people who make the Quran alive in our lives also. Our eyes, our ears, our mouth, our mind, our heart. Quran become alive and make the niyat Quran must become alive in the whole world. The Quran must become alive. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.